Hi, welcome to Politically Enraged, the podcast that's designed to be the lefties' refuge. I'm here to talk to you about politics in the UK and further afield, and try and figure out how we move forward through increasingly scary authoritarianism, sometimes with humour, sometimes with severity, but mostly with a really nice northern accent. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to another episode of Politically Enraged, filmed far too soon after the last one, but I feel like it's necessary. I talked a lot about my feelings about the current iteration of Labour yesterday, but there's something else that I really want to get into, which is how I identify, which is something I've spoken about before, but also about the problems with it. I am reluctantly labelling myself part of the far left or the further left. Or progressive, or whatever you want to call it. There's a million names, and the problem is a lot of people have a lot of negative associations with those things. But it's never usually about the actual politics, although a lot of people say that my politics are maybe too aspirational if they're being nice, or childish if they aren't. But I think that politics without aspiration in it is just a tool of the status quo. And I think that aiming for maintenance is not what we need right now, because, you know, why would we want to maintain the seething shit pile that we're in? My politics are further left because I believe in aspiration and I believe in better than what we have, and I think that there needs to be radical reform in things like healthcare, medical treatment, prison. I think that we need to change education. I think that we need to steer society away from blind hatred of minority groups. And to me, that is the essence of far leftist politics and far leftist social feeling. And I could be wrong, but I don't feel like I am. And when it comes to how I realised this, there was this long period of time where I bedded down with the idea that any alternative to the Conservatives' current iteration was better. Anything would do. Doesn't matter what it was, as long as it was further left than them. But what I realised is there's this creeping issue with that type of thinking, which means that when you only aim for the smallest of changes, there are whole generations of people, whole years worth of people, who will suffer under the minor changes when larger changes would mean that they don't suffer anymore. And realizing that made me start to deconstruct how I felt about certain aspects of politics. Now, I could go into, again, what I said literally yesterday about Labour and their views on Brexit, on immigration, on the NHS. I could talk about the fact that they seem reluctant to go after richer people now because apparently Keir Starmer's downgraded the urgency of making the rich pay for society. I could talk about the importance of reaffirming people's rights, like the right to protest and strike. There's a lot of things I could go into, but I covered a lot of it yesterday. The problem is that we need to talk about the behaviours of people like me, people who identify as further left, because the issue, the creeping issue that I have, the reason that I find myself reluctant to identify wholly with that label, is because of people's behaviour. Here's the thing, right? Doing what I do, talking about politics, a lot of it revolves around social media. I'm up north, first of all, and the hub of politics is London, one of the issues that Sam Bright talks extensively about in his book. And it's so important, and it's highlighted all the way through Fortress London, that we move away from centralised politics. But the problem with that is you end up absorbing yourself into the idea that the only place to talk about politics is the forum of social media. And people's behaviour on social media is so problematic. And this is the thing that I really want to hammer home in this episode of this podcast, right? People's behaviour online isn't indicative of their moral compass, always. But it is an aspect of it. If you identify as super far left and you're super progressive and you want to look after everybody and change society in ways that means that nobody suffers, that's great. But you can still act like a raging bell chief. I have seen people whose political views I love act like an absolute wank stain on Twitter, and it drives me insane. But the issue is, especially with some of us these days who did come into prominence on social media talking about politics, we centralise the idea that people's views are indicative of their behaviour on the internet. So on one side, you've got people saying they can't be a bad person because they're part of the far left. And on the other side, you've got people going, well, they must be a dick because they're mean to people on Twitter, regardless of political affiliation. And that's the truth. You can be a great person with brilliant progressive views. You can want to look after people and sort out society and fix the most base problems. Try and make a world that's better for everyone. And still act like an absolute cock on the internet. And I really want us to step away from this idea that someone's idiotic online behaviour is wholly indicative of them as a person, but also hold people to the responsibility of accepting that they need to stop acting like an absolute penis on the internet, because it does impinge on politics. And here's a big reason why. If you have fantastic progressive views, if you are a wonderful political person who wants to fix the world, and your first instinct is to attack and deride people that don't agree with you, rather than asking them why they feel that way and then explaining your perspective, you're not as good of a person as you think. And you're not as interested in growing your movement into something cogent as you think either. One of the problems that I've seen for a long time is that further left politics has been part of this out-group where if you don't fit into it, then you're too stupid to understand, and why should I have rational discussion with you because you're a moron? That's not the truth. The fact is that we're brought up in a very flawed society that doesn't afford us the education into the fact that that type of politics even exists. I was wholly politically ignorant as a child, and well into my teens, probably into my early 20s even, because I didn't realise that there were alternatives. The status quo was forced down my throat over and over and over again, and I gobbled it down, and studying media was what woke me up. I realised every message that you imbibe, I'm going to do the Marshall McLuhan quote, oh God, sorry to all my fellow media people out there, but I have to say it. The medium is the message, but the message for the longest time has been that the way that things are is the way things have to be. And that's not true. The fact is that there is a huge amount of frustration amongst people on the far left that has created this hostility towards anyone that's not in the group. And the issue with that is you continue to alienate people. You push yourself away from the main and you refuse to build bridges. Now, it does go both ways, and this is the thing that's really frustrating, is that I see bad behaviour from both sides, and I see nobody on either side willing to take responsibility for it. And I also see a hell of a lot of apologism from people who are on the far left saying, well, they're allowed to say that because of X, Y, and Z extenuating circumstance. Sometimes it's relevant, sometimes it's bullshit. Don't act like a dick. If you want people to be on your side, if you want your politics to stand a chance, don't be hostile to people because they disagree with you on a point. Talk to them about it. And if they act like a dickhead, they're the one that's causing the problem, not you. Additionally, I have to point out that, again, it does go both ways. I see people complaining about the behaviour of the far left while exhibiting the same behaviour themselves. One of the reasons that I'm on a social media holiday, and I probably will not go back to Twitter, apart from the fact that it's owned by that melon-headed fuckwit now, is the fact that the behaviour online is weird and so out of character. I see people dogpiling and making horrible jokes. One of my close contacts sent me a veritable treasure trove of homophobia from someone that I used to really like. And when I looked at his tweets and I saw all of this casual homophobic nonsense, I was like, wow. Do you just not realise that's homophobic? Or do you think that that is the way to win people over by making jokes about gay people to bring us into your politics? Are you nuts? And the thing is, people change. You can't hang people for their previous behaviour if they've done the work to accept that they did wrong. But another problem is so many people eschew responsibility for what they've done in the past. They won't accept that they've done bad behaviours. Now, I and people around my age have grew up in an age where edgy comedy was everywhere, and we were starting to see a lot of different representation of different groups, and so we imbibed that type of comedy and thought that it was ours to play with too. I said and did some really fucking stupid shit when I was a teenager, and if people call me out on it, then so be it. You know, I was an asshole, and I apologise to the people that knew me around that time, because Christ, I was in so much pain about my own identity and other things that I acted like a dickhead. But it doesn't absolve me of responsibility for the shit that I did. And the best thing to do is to just take full ownership of it and say, I was a twat and I'm trying to learn, you know? But people don't do that. They surround themselves by people who say, it's fine, it's the other people that are bad. And that just seems to echo through every faction of the left, and it divides us into these pathetic echo chambers where we never exchange fruitful ideas. We never have fruitful discussion because we're always trying to one-up each other with a dug-up tweet from 7 years ago, or we're making stupid, insensitive jokes. And when we're called out, you get a block instead of people saying, you know what? Christ, that was bad taste. I'm really sorry. What's so wrong with taking responsibility? And another thing, what's so wrong with being wrong? One of the things that makes me laugh is that we are brought up in a society that is so fundamentally flawed and that refuses to allow us to address the problems that we cause ourselves. And when people do say, you know what, I did wrong, it's such a rare breath of fresh air. One of the things that does my head in is the structured YouTuber apology for having done wrong. It's so gross. I was in a dark place. I was really struggling. I'm going to do better in future, blah, blah, blah. You were a dick. Say you were a dick. I was a dick. There's no way that I can make this up to you. I don't know how to apologize in a way that will make people happy, but I've done things that will hurt people and I can't take that back. And just the mere acceptance of that would be a delight. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there's bad behavior everywhere in every aspect of politics. And I think one of the big issues that we have is that people tie people's morals with people's politics. And that is a dangerous game to play. A good politician very rarely lets their morals wholly dictate their talking points, because ultimately politicians are public servants. But that's also true of the people ourselves. Your personal feelings shouldn't enter into your politics as much as you think. Yes, it should dictate your morals, and your morals should certainly inform your politics in a broad way. But ultimately, if you want to get involved in politics, you have to realise that that is representation of the people. And a big problem that we have in the UK at the moment is that we have a bunch of people, one, with no morals whatsoever, who are representing us on the world sphere. But additionally, we have a bunch of people dictating to us what our morals are. My morals do not align with what the Tories are doing with immigration, with Brexit, with the way that they're treating people that they're going to deport to Rwanda, with prisoners, with people of colour, with LGBTQIA people. Because the way that they're behaving is fucking scum. And they tell us that that's what people want. They tell us that that's what people feel. And that isn't my experience. I've had some shit experiences in the last few months, but I don't think that people in the UK are wholly evil. If you look at the last general election vote, 56% of people voted for progressive parties. There's more lefties amongst you than you think. The Conservatives just know how to spin a real good yarn. And we really have to take ownership of the idea that the way that you feel about something personally should inform your politics, but shouldn't dictate it. That's why there's a lot of people in this country that can bitch about being cancelled and taken over by the left and blah, blah, blah. But if that's the will of the people that we've had repeated to us ad nauseam for so many years, they should be fine with it. Because if the will of the people is that we're a more progressivist society, then society should be more progressivist. But on both sides of the British political spectrum right now, we have a bunch of parties who are telling us how we feel about issues, who are telling us what we want, what we need, what we think. And half of it's absolute garbage. And the worst thing is, so many people on every different sphere of leftism in the UK are willing to spit out the same bollocks. I had a huge pop at people that really, really back Keir Starmer's Labour in my last podcast, so I'll do the opposite right now. It's a week since the Socialist Party of Britain released an aspect of their beliefs that they basically think that, yeah, transgender people are really mistreated and it's really horrible, but also transgender people don't deserve rights and women are being super exploited by transgender people. Look, I'm not a woman, but I can tell you right now that transgender people aren't exploiting women. Maybe there's a few transgender people that are bad people. That happens in every demographic. But at the same time, society has been exploiting women for time immemorial. And if we want to deal with that as a society, maybe it's time that we start looking at the fact that misogyny starts from the knee. That stupid, idiotic aspects of misogyny are beaten into children, both male and female, as they grow up. And to undo that and to make a society that actually values and treasures and protects women, maybe we need to pick it apart and do it differently, because the society that we've been propagating for so long has been institutionally misogynistic for my entire goddamn life, and I would like to see an end to it, or at least like to see us start to try and make headway. But if you're going to focus on the idea that one tiny demographic of people, 0.65% of the population, I think it is wholly responsible for the denigration of women's rights, you are insane, not the least. Because half of the people in charge, in power, in parliament, are sex-craved perverts who won't even make misogyny illegal. Put your eyes on the prize, you know. I don't want to dictate to people where they should put their energies, but Christ, if you want to deal with misogyny, start dealing with misogyny instead of dealing with the imaginary shibboleth of what you think misogyny is represented by, which is transgender people, you nutcases. But the point is that terrible ideas are being permeated all across the far left, seeding us into further and further division. Now it's, what, socialists and people of further leanings that are supposed to make a stand about transphobia? Transphobia is not a political standpoint. It's hate speech. And these valued questions about what women's concerns are, what are they? Because every fucking time I've heard anyone speak about just concerns, it turns out that it's just transphobia. And racism. Racism is a huge problem on the far left and the left in general. And this is something that's highlighted time and time and time and time again by people of colour. And it's ignored. It's true. Just because you want to do a Lexit, because you think that we need to be a small state and we can control our own import-export, doesn't mean that you're correct. And half of the ideas, even of Lexit, was based on xenophobia, because it's people coming over here and taking advantage of our jobs and we need to look after ourselves in our lovely socialist society. And it doesn't work. We live on a fucking island, huns. We've got to try and deal with other people. And the best way to do that is, well, to not be xenophobic. There are so many people out there that talk eloquently about politics and yet hold their biases above their heads with a siren klaxoning about it. And people eat it up, or ignore it, or make apologies for it. You cannot be part of a minoritized group and have stupid biases like racism. There are, like, I'm thinking of people like Keffels, who is regularly accused of racism and who has a lot of racist people that follow her. That's a concern. You can be part of a minoritized group and be a dickhead. You can be on the far left and be a dickhead. You can be a centrist and be a dickhead. Not because of your political leanings, but because, guess what? Being a dickhead is apolitical. And that's a point that a lot of people seem to need to be told. But the point is, it's not beyond redemption. We can fix this. We can talk about it. We can get these things to work. We just need to actually put in the legwork. We need to put down the weapons. And actually talk to each other in real terms. Stop bringing our biases and our ridiculous radicalizations to the fore. And actually have discussion. Find out what the will of the people actually is. Because I don't know about you, but I have never in my lifetime seen the real will of the people. I feel like I've been manipulated from the knee. And I only started realizing it a few years ago. And I know I'm not the only one amongst us. There's so many points that need to be addressed. There's so many things that need to be dealt with. And the only way that we're ever going to do it is if we stop turning against each other. I mean, Christ, even people who are centre-right, a lot of centre-right viewership tends to be just ignorance. I've spoken to people on the centre-right and talked to them about my views, my ideas of politics, my stances. They tend to agree and go, well, yeah. And then they throw in the butt and pull out things like the Daily Mail, and that's when I want to reach for a screwdriver and stab at my own eyes until the hurting stops. But the point is that not many people are beyond reach. A lot of people have been radicalized into single issue viewership, which, like, small boat bollocks or transphobia or, you know, oh, well, I think the police should be able to stop and search, despite the horrendous heaps of evidence that it's terrible for people of color and not effective. But until we stop allowing people to be radicalized into these views, until we actually reach out to them meaningfully, until we find a way to de-radicalize people, and until we start having fruitful discussion with people that aren't radicalized and that do kind of align with us but just need a helping hand, and we stop trying to do this fucking pointless one-upmanship on social media, this stuff's just going to keep circling round and round and round, because that's how it happens. A genuine question to the people out there that do or don't align with me, that do think they're part of the far left and who love to get at people that aren't on their side, or people that don't agree with me who sit in the centre and think that that's the only way to be pragmatic. When's the last time you converted someone to your cause? Are you even trying? Is it about winning people over, or do you just like feeling superior because your views are the best ones, right? When I think the objective truth is, and the truth that we're all really scared of is, most of us have got a lot of things right and some things wrong, and we don't know it. I'm not a genius. I make podcasts and talk about my views all the time on the internet because I'm a gobshite. And I just have an insatiable need to talk about how I feel and what I think because it gets it out of my head, you know? It's not about winning or losing, necessarily. Don't get me wrong, I certainly don't want to lose the next election with the Conservatives taking over again, because I will literally, I'll wait for the next small boat to arrive at Dover and I'll fucking sail it back over to France. But the point is, it's not about individual victory. It's about collective victory. And there will be people that would be unhappy under my version of what I think politics should be. But that doesn't matter because I'm never going to get my way entirely. And that's okay. But this exclusory behaviour amongst different factions of the left is just so dumb. How do you not see it? How do you not see that holding progressivist views and then cutting people out that don't believe in them because they haven't had the education or the experiences that you have is a winning viewpoint? Or if you're a centrist, how do you not see that compromising on holistic ideas of reform is unhelpful? No one's stupid necessarily, but people that cling to their viewpoints to the exclusion of other people's feelings are just entirely unhelpful. I still believe that there is a way for us to all move forward and for all of us to be happy. You know what? Compromise sucks, but sometimes it's necessary, and I think that we do need to compromise. One thing I will say as someone that has turned himself as far left for a little while is that I'm really tired of being told that I need to compromise on my views, and maybe you guys need to accept the idea that perhaps broader reform, braver change is needed, and stop telling me to stick within the realms of your comfortability, because that doesn't mean that I'm right or I'm wrong and you're right. It means that you're afraid of change because you know that it might mean that you have to do things differently. Additionally, I'm willing to accept that there's some things that I'm wrong on, that my views are too aspirational, that they're imperfect. I'm willing to hear it. I want to work with people on it because I'm open to other people's views and ideas. But like I said, transphobia, racism, homophobia, misogyny, these are not political standpoints. They're hatred. And I don't want that in my politics. I don't think anybody else should either. There's ways and means for us to move forward. I know there is. But we're going to have to start doing it together, because if we don't, we're never going to get anywhere. And I don't want to keep losing to a bunch of people that sacrifice their morals just for a golden cup of victory that's usually filled with their own blood. Thanks as always for joining us here on Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. If you do want to follow me on social media so we can chat about the episodes and future upcoming information, you can follow me on Twitter, either at Political Rages or Davy Moo. You can follow me on Instagram at Politically Enraged or Davy Moo. And you can follow me on TikTok at Davy Moo. If you do want to sponsor the show on Ko-fi, you can just search Politically Enraged on Ko-fi. Join me again soon for another episode of Politically Enraged. And remember, get politically engaged and stay politically enraged.